You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Hi, everyone. Happy Tuesday. Okay, I'm going to say it. Happy Taco Tuesday.
Oh, you did it.
I didn't say Pizza Tuesday. I didn't say Chicken Machado Tuesday. I didn't say Sushi Tuesday. Happy Taco Tuesday.
Oh.
No.
You broke it now.
Oh, no. Well, maybe that's good. Maybe that's good. Shake it up a little bit here. Oh. So hi, everyone. This is Elizabeth Powell, Tech Trend Investments, and happy Taco Tuesday.
And this is Joseph Grasso with Tech Trend Investments. Welcome, everybody.
Welcome, welcome. So anything can become a taco, basically, right? You can be anywhere in the world, and you can still make a taco, which is great.
Well, actually, no, you're right, because you had a taco in Greece.
So all you need is some kind of meat, some kind of a tortilla or wrap. I make everyone hungry. Cheese, preferably. Some people don't like cheese, but I love cheese. So cheese, it has to have cheese. And some kind of salsa, which you can make salsa pretty much like out of anything. But yeah, when I was in Greece, they didn't have cilantro. And cilantro is like one of the key ingredients. I know you don't like cilantro, but I love cilantro. One of the key ingredients in salsa. So I had there's tomatoes, there's onions, and then, you know, if some kind of a pepper to make it into a salsa. So there you go, salsa. And then the best part, of course, is avocados. So guacamole, that's like the best part, but you don't have to have that. That's more like a California thing. But it's a California thing in like Southern San Diego, Mexican border type of thing, guacamole, like that's the thing. But you can just pretty much take any meat. So like I had Cajun pork, so ooh, I can make tacos out of Cajun pork. Now I'm going to be hungry on the whole entire show because I'm talking about food.
Cajun pork sounds really good right now.
It's really good. Now that I made everyone hungry, go out and get your tacos, support your local businesses now. But I mean, like the great thing is, so when I was in Greece, I was traveling a lot in Europe and I was craving Mexican food. That's the thing that I always crave when I travel. I'm traveling again right now. This time I'm in the Caribbean, so I get the beautiful blue water and the beautiful palm trees, and I have to make my versions of Mexican food. But I have, there's what's great is avocado is cheap out here, which I'm surprised. I got like two avocados for like $2.25, which is cheap because that's the prices in California. Yeah, so I'm super excited. Cheese a little bit more expensive, so I have cheese. And then lettuce, of course. Oh, I forgot lettuce. Most people put lettuce in their tacos. If you're having a street taco, we're going to give like a history on tacos today. No, just kidding. If you have a street taco, you have like a little corn tortilla that's a soft tortilla. You just put the meat and then you put the salsa on top and that's basically it. You don't add all the other fun things onto it. But like a street taco just has like cilantro and onions and salsa and then just the meat and the tortilla. But if you have like a full-blown taco, you add everything to it. So you add the meat and then, or if you're vegetarian, you can add potatoes or something instead.
I'm not vegetarian, then, but that sounds good.
Yeah, they have potato tacos too. I would make everyone hungry. They're like, what show did we tune into today? Now we have some exciting fun things too, but we thought we'd like go back to the little fun things about tacos. So you put lettuce on it, lettuce, tomatoes, if you want tomatoes, so lettuce, cheese, some people put olives on it, like anything that's fun, basically, can make a taco. Now I'm hungry and I ate today. So I'm also on East Coast time and out here in the Caribbean, it's 9 o'clock, but the sun goes down like at 6:37, it goes down really, really early. And I've been traveling for a bit, so I've been on East Coast time for like over a month now, but I'll be like, okay, What is California time? Is it time? Is it not time? It's 9 o'clock. Why is the sun not here? Where everybody else is enjoying the sun and it's 9 o'clock and everybody else is still seeing the sun. And I'm like, oh, dinner was 3 hours ago and I'm talking about tacos right now. But anyway, here we are. Now that I made you all hungry on your drive home and your commute in LA traffic, no. Hi, welcome to
LA. Welcome to LA Talk Radio.
Right. So anyway, no, the lack of sleep has probably been getting to me too. I do not understand my timeline. I come out to East Coast time, which means that in California, you know, like a normal 9 a.m. for everybody else would be 6 a.m. back home. I am waking up at 4, 5 a.m. East Coast time right now. And I'm going to sleep at midnight 1 because I'm working all day. So I'm up at 4 or 5 a.m., which is like 1 a.m. back home, and wait and going to sleep at like 1 a.m. because I'm working these 10, 11, 12-hour days, which is fine. That's why I'm deliriously talking about tacos right now. I'm just kidding. I was up at 4 a.m. again today, which is great. I mean, got so much done. It's like people who work a lot understand that quiet moment in the morning when everybody else is still asleep and you go outside and there's nobody around and it's nice and quiet and you're able to collect your thoughts and get a lot accomplished because it's not busy time, right? So like that's my key time that I do a lot of my dev stuff and my processing for the day and things that are going to get done. So my 4 a.m. is my quiet time. So like that's the time I get to enjoy. I wake up, have my coffee, work, and then the hustle and bustle starts to come around like 9 or 10 o'clock when everybody else starts to thrive and comes back to life. But it gives me like that kind of solitude of peace to get things done and focus, and it's quiet and nobody's around and the beach is quiet and everything else is quiet, but I'm able to work from my phone anywhere. So, I mean, I enjoy it, but it's also giving me that lack of sleep at this moment.
The adjustment period.
Right. But I mean, you think that normally you would like sleep in instead and adjust that way. Instead, I'm doing the opposite and waking up even earlier. So
for me, sleep is key. So I just sleep in. I'd have no question. Set no alarm and I'd probably sleep away half the day.
No. Me, I haven't set an alarm and I don't even know how long. And I automatically wake up at 4 or 5 or 6 o'clock every morning, like on the dot. And the sun hasn't even come up yet. But anyway, we're on these like fun tangents because there's a lot of things going on in life for everybody right now. And sometimes it's good just to enjoy the moment that you're in and not think about the noise that's outside, right? Right. Like appreciate those tacos, appreciate those quiet moments, appreciate your coffee in the morning, looking out and catching a sunset, having the quiet of the ocean, you know, like those are the good things because those are the things that keep you balanced and keep your life, you know, joyful. So you're not always fun. Like worried about stress. We have so many things going on and like getting ready for launch and working on algos and doing some other things behind the scenes that people don't know about yet that we're going to be talking about soon, not yet officially. So we have a lot of things getting ready to go and it's like nonstop working, but you always have to balance your life too. You also always have to have that fun. It's like on those last episodes when the market was quiet, the market was soft and it wasn't roaring like it's been lately. We're like, appreciate this time because it's not going to be this way forever. We always go through these cycles where we have like quiet times, dips in the market. Those are the best times to take advantage. That's when people make the most money, is when everyone's afraid to invest in it. But it's quiet times is great. So you can focus on other things. And then we have the roar that comes back to life and the market gets thriving again and everybody's out and everybody's excited and everybody wants to invest. And we're in that period right now. So a lot's going on in the market and it's really exciting, which also causes volatility, right? Because there's new people in the market. There's lots of volume. It's range trading. Like ETH is range trading right now, 2450 to the 2880, which it broke out last week. And we talked about what the breakout signifies. The Fed is meeting right now. They're going to announce tomorrow. We anticipate the rates are probably going to be flat, but he's also going to say something which will sway the market one way or the other. There's always these threats of, international turmoil that affects the market. So that's going on right now. There's national turmoil that affects the market. That goes on right now. But if you quiet the noise and you don't give in to that emotion or that psychological, you can see and sit back and watch. If this kind of news comes out, the market reacts this way. If this kind of news comes out, the market reacts that way. But if you notice, the market ends up bouncing back. So in that heat of the moment, people have the knee-jerk reaction and will sell off or do something to cause disruption in the market because they think what's going on in the outer part of the world is going to affect it. And they're trying to anticipate. And then so there'll be a sell-off, there'll be a dip, but then there'll be a bounce back. So last week we broke through our high on ETH, which was it's not our all-time high yet. We still have like to 4,600 to catch our all-time high. We have quite a way still to go. BTC broke its all-time high, so we can still make our all-time high on ETH. We broke through on like our resistance point last week was 28, I think it was 78, 2888.
Yeah,
We broke
we hit
through.
2081 last week.
I think it
Really
hit
good.
2889. Yeah. So it broke through the numbers. It did exactly what it's supposed to do. And we said it's going to tap it. People will profit take. There'll be a pullback, which happened. And we've been ranging now from like 2440 to about 2650 since it pushed through. It has to push through one more time again to go on to its next leg up. So what normally happens is we break through, which we did. There's a pullback, which happened. There's profit taking. It ranges as it ranges, and it's waiting again for the next set of news to come out. Then it'll break through again. That 2880 is the target again. Once it breaks through, then we'll be on our next leg. So we're waiting for the second push through so it can go on its next leg. Whenever we have a target set, and most everybody else, if they've been trading and they know how to trade, we're seeking that target number two, and it pushed through the target, so it did exactly that. But if everyone else set up their profit targets, they would have took profit right then, and then that's when you have that pullback. And then when the volume comes back in and it pushes through to the next one, we'll go up onto our next push out and our next leg up. Now, if the Fed decides to cut rates tomorrow, which we doubt that it will, we'll have a big rally in the market because nobody anticipates that happening at all whatsoever. If the Fed hints on some kind of optimistic news about the economy or about anticipating rate cuts, because when you cut rates, you make businesses thrive a little bit more. It's cheaper to borrow money. People will spend a little bit more money because it's cheaper too. Businesses can borrow more money. People can buy houses at a cheaper rate. It does a lot of things to spur the economy. That's why they cut rates. So if they do cut rates surprisingly, which we don't anticipate, then we'll have a rally in the market because that means growth will happen. Businesses will be able to thrive a little bit more. People will be able to consume or spend more. They'll be able to go buy houses and cars at a cheaper rate. So it'll stimulate the economy, but what we anticipate is it's just going to be flat probably tomorrow. And the rumor is now that hypothetically September could be the next rate cut. So what we're looking for
Isn't that far
tomorrow,
away?
yeah, so what we're looking for tomorrow is yes or no on the rate cut, which probably will be just a flat. So everyone plans on that. And then what they're going to say about it. So if they say, okay, based on what the economy has been doing for the last month or 2 months or 3 months or 6 months, we foresee this in the future. This is what the economy is doing. And we anticipate a potential rate cut by this certain date. If so, what they say tomorrow can also affect the market. If it's optimistic, it can bring like a small rally. If they do a rate cut, it will bring a big rally. If they just keep the rates flat and are neutral on their comment, the market will stay a little bit flat. That's just normally what happens. You have to think of it this way, because I know this is a lot of news, and like if you don't invest heavily and you don't trade a lot and you don't watch economic news and you don't understand the markets, this probably sounds like a lot of foreign things. So I'll put it like an analogy. So say it's Christmas time or a holiday or your birthday or something, and you're anticipating getting I don't know, you're a kid and you're really excited and you think you're going to get a bike. So you're excited, right? And the rumor is
Wait a
you're going to
minute,
get a
a bike.
bike. So the rumor is you're going to get a bike. And then that day comes and you just get a bike, but it's nothing special. So that was what everyone anticipates. Now, instead, you got like a bike and a bounce house. Now
Oh,
you're really excited. So you
my
got
inner
more than you
child.
thought you're going to get. That's what a rate cut is. It's more than you anticipate, and you get really excited and you're happy. And then that's when the markets thrive.
Yeah, think of the
Now
market as
it's
emotions, right?
now, right? So it's emotional. It's just like a little kid getting something exciting on his birthday. He anticipates what he's going to get. If he gets it, he's like happy. But he just expected to get that. But if he got more, like a rate cut, then he gets really excited and very happy. Now it's your birthday and you don't get a bike, you get
Their socks.
a yo-yo or something, like something small. Then you're really sad. And so like now that's like the market being sad and selling off. So, that's like if you think of it that way, that's what emotions are in the market. That's what happens. Like that's what happens to the Dow and the stock market and mutual funds and portfolios and options and interest rates. If people anticipate certain things and then they get their bike, they know, okay, I got my bike. If they get a playhouse and they got rates cuts, they're super excited, or a bounce house. If they, get a yo-yo and like they raise rates, then they're really sad. If instead on your birthday you have to go buy everyone dinner, then you're kind of sad, So,
would start.
like if you think of like if you can use an analogy and see real life situations, you understand why a market reacts the way it does because you put it into real life analogy of like if this happened, then this would happen. It's the same thing happens. If we get a rate cut, then they're all excited. It's the bounce house. They, like go party. Woo.
Yeah, invite all your friends over and have a full party.
Right. So the market rallies, the market's excited, If we don't, you just got your bike. Okay. But if you get the yo-yo and then you're not happy, then you go sulk in your room or whatever as a kid.
Then you get a yo-yo and you have to spend your weekly allowance on dinner for everybody.
Right. And then save up money for a bike.
Yeah, but the market, like we were saying, it's all emotions. It's like a kid. It's the easiest way to put it in an analogy form is the birthday. If everyone's happy and excited, they get more than what they want, the market's gonna go up. If they get exactly what they expected, it's gonna stay flat. And then if they're buying dinner and getting a yo-yo, the market's going down because everyone's sad and disappointed and they want to exit. It's all emotion-based trading. It's what everyone bases it off of. And if you can predict the emotions prior, then that helps you significantly. If you can see what's going to happen and know what's going to happen based on trends and based on predictions from like reliable sources, you're going to get the data first. You're going to be able to react before everyone else reacts, and that's how you make your money. Like that's how profitable traders work. They try to find out the information using systems and strategies, and then they act on those before anybody else gets the chance to.
Yes, very good. So, what
Right.
ETH has been doing, what ETH has been doing is we've been ranging. So we've been hovering like at that 24.41 range to 28.79 on our breakout last week. We were, let's see, our bottom is. Hypothetically, not saying this is going to happen because we need some kind of dramatic news to make this happen, but we could go as low as 23.84 and still be okay, even 23.26 and still be okay because that's still in the range. Our
Yeah.
range right now is pretty big. We're ranging from 23.26 to 28.79, But just in the last week, the lowest we've gone is 2441, and we've hit 2879. So we've been ranging about 400. So that's about 20% range, which is great because if you trade that way, you know when it bottoms out and it hits close to the bottom of the range, you could buy in there. And then when it hits close to its top range, you could sell there. So you could just range trade. So range trading is like as soon as it hits about 2400, 2450, you would buy in because it's on the bounce. And then when it gets close to, it's been hovering about 2650 before it goes on to its next leg up on the breakout. If it goes above 2700, we usually go towards our next breakout. So you can range about 2450 to 2650 pretty safe. So like 2450, you buy in and then you sell close to 2650, and then you buy back in at 2450 and you sell at 2650. So you're making a spread of about 200. And depending on how much you're leveraging, you can do options on it. Like a lot of places are selling options on ETH now too. I don't know if it's legal necessarily in like in the States right
In the
now. There's a
US, I
couple
don't think
things.
so.
Yeah, I think Coinbase has some futures trading now though. If you're in like their advanced trading, you can trade on options on that. But you can leverage more. So an option would be that instead of just buying $2,500 worth of ETH, you can leverage out a bigger position, and then if it ranges, you make basically the spread on that. On so if the option you're buying in at 2450 and now the value of the ETH is at 2650, there's a $200 spread that you're getting ETH at a discount, and so the option value goes up and you can buy and sell that option instead. So you can range trade it, you can option it, you can go long on the position when it bottoms out at the 2450 and go long, which means that you anticipate it's going up from there. And then when it goes up from there, then the value of your long position goes up. If you short it, you like now it's at say 2650, 2700, and you anticipate it's going to go down again, then you would short it, saying that you anticipate that the price is going to go down. But you have to make sure you exit that position before it bounces back up because it's ranging. So it's going up and down and up and down. And it's going up and down, like usually within 24 to 48 hours. It's not like holding its position for long periods of time. It's fluctuating until it breaks out again.
Yeah,
So,
that's what we like to call a Coke bottle.
yeah. So we have an analogy that we've
We
talked
always put
about it.
everything into it, into an
Yeah,
analogy, right?
so you can understand we want like trading, like learning anything new or trying to master anything new or trying to understand new technology or new terms is hard unless you can relate it to something familiar. And so we have an analogy that we call a Coke bottle. We use it for a lot for our tokens because we have our bots like find these quote unquote Coke bottles. And so basically what happens is before anything's about ready to break out, it's going to range trade. So that's what we're doing right now. It's ranging that 2450 to 2650. It has to break out above the 2780 to go on to the next leg up. But in the interim, it's going to trade between 2450 and 2650 up and down, up and down, up and down, based on what the emotions are and what news is coming out. And so why it's range trading, we call it a Coke bottle. So if you ever remember, like as a kid, again, we'll use an analogy, or as an adult, some people still do this as an adult.
There were a lot of videos on it in like, was it
Right?
2020, 2022?
So you take a Mentos, and I just happened to see the Mentos at the grocery store today. You take a
Oh, nice.
Mentos and you stick it in a Coke bottle, so like Coca-Cola or Pepsi or whatever, and you like those big 2 liters, it can be a liter, but 2 liters are even bigger. And you take a couple of the Mentos and you drop it in and you put the cap back on, you shake the cap. So as you shake the cap, you can see the pressure building inside the Coke bottle. So range trading is similar to that. It's like taking a Mentos, putting it in the Coke bottle, shaking the Coke bottle. And when you take the lid off, the Coke bottle explodes, right? And you see foam go everywhere. Some of these Coke bottles, they'll throw them on the ground and they'll bounce like a rocket and like shoot up into space and then explode.
Those
But
ones are
it's basically Coca-Cola Mentos.
cool.
It just has a chemical reaction that causes this big pressure buildup. So when we're trading tokens, tokens tend to do the same thing with like stocks, bonds, options, futures. But it shows very prevalent in small caps or meme coins, right? So what happens is, like, when a token's fairly new, the team is trying to bring volume into the token. They're trying to make the token exciting, but they don't want to do big buys into the chart yet, because if they do, there'll be a lot of people selling off, or snipers will come in and get into the token before they can do their big marketing campaign. So what they're trying to do is keep the floor stable. That's kind of what ETH is doing right now. ETH is trying to keep the floor stable. It's ranging between 2440 to 2650. It's keeping the floor stable. So floor is like where the bottom of the token price is. So it's ranging, it's 2450 to 2650, 2450 to 2650, and interim in between that. So if you look at the chart, it's going up and down, up and down, up and down. On a tiny token, like one of the meme tokens or altcoins, they'll range trade out too, right before they do a big marketing campaign, or before they're going to do a push or do a lot of buys into the chart to get volume in, so that they can get the volume to build up and for a lot of people to buy in and for it to run. So it's the same analogy. The range is going on a 2450, 2650, 2450, 2650, 2450, 2650. And then an announcement will come out. It's like taking a Coke bottle, shaking it over and over and over again with Mentos. That's the range trading. The announcement comes, you take the lid off the Coke bottle, it explodes, and then the token or whatever's been range trading takes off and it runs. So that's the analogy of a Coke bottle. Meme coins repeat the same thing. So there'll be meme coins and our bots will pick it up. And to find these, normally you'd have to watch charts all day. So most people are watching ETH charts. That's just a given, right? We're watching BTC charts, Bitcoin charts. We're watching ETH charts, which is Ethereum. You watch, if you have a favorite stock, you're probably watching your favorite stock. You watch your chart, you watch that one chart. But there's 25,000 to 50,000 tokens launching a day. That's just a launch. That's like a brand new token coming to life. But there's also tokens that are already in circulation that are trading. So if you take like the total sum of all the tokens, we have like in crypto, I think it was what we came up with 18.4 trillion
18.4 trillion
being
in volume.
traded. Was it
In
volume
volume,
being traded? So there's a lot of tokens to watch. Thank you. And so, like, if you can watch like thousands and thousands and thousands of tokens, that's great. Good for you. I don't know how
I
you're
don't know how
doing
you do
it, but I appreciate
that.
it. So what we've done instead is we've built AI bots that watches all the tokens instead. So, like AI is basically everything on steroids. Like it magnifies whatever you have and then magnifies it to the umpteenth, exponential. So,
It's like an infinite possibility.
right. So it's great because so we have our AI bot screening on ETH about 25,000 tokens a day just on new pairs, and then 25,000 on Base on new pairs. A new pair is a brand new token that just came out, but it's also screening all the existing tokens that are still trading right now that are live. So not only is it screening the new ones, but it's also screening the ones coming back to life that are, getting ready to Coke bottle. It's screening out the ones like Pepe and Mog and some of the altcoins too. It's screening ETH and BTC on stables to find out if ETH and BTC is going to rally, right? So if we start getting pings on stables, we know that ETH and BTC is about ready to take off. So it does that too. So it's screening like an infinite a number of tokens. So I personally don't have to watch 10,000 charts at once just to find that one Coke bottle, or to find that next token that's going to break out, or to find that next new pair. We screened out 100 to 200 out of 50,000 tokens.
And
So
that's a
like
day, 50,000 a day.
a day, right? So it's looking for all these little things that we talk about on the air, like all these things that we're telling you, like when you're trading, look for something that's range trading before the breakout. If you're trading, watch for news that's coming out with the economy. If you're trading, see what's going on with international. If there's disruptions nationally, that's going to affect the market. So AI and the bots are doing this for us so that we don't have to keep our finger on the pulse of what's going on and then react emotionally with human error, the AI calculates all of this data in it and then spits out the highest probability in the predictive model based off of past data, past emotion, what happens in cycles, what happens on a token. It takes 85 different indicators and variables, and if it checks off those boxes, it predicts those tokens will have a higher probability than the other 50,000 will run, right? That'll have a better solution to buy
Right.
into. So now we only have to watch 100 to 200 tokens a day versus 50,000 because it takes those 50,000 tokens, screens it down to 100 and 200, and takes all these things that we've been talking about for the last couple of years on how to trade, combines it with AI, and then screens out the tokens that are the best ones to find. And you're able to apply it to any type of a market because it uses a lot of the same baseline that moves other markets too. And since I day traded and I worked in like mortgages and T-bonds and stocks, bonds, options, futures, crypto, you can apply it across markets because most of the same baseline in markets is going to move a market has like kind of the same things. But then there's certain key things that apply to different markets. Like crypto has a couple different key things than like the stocks would. And stocks
Yeah.
have different key things than another than the housing market would. But you're able to, if you have that baseline, you can check all those boxes and you can predict when a market's going to shift or move in one direction or the other, and then what its range is, and then which ones are better. So like if you're buying a house, and you have 10 different houses to buy. One's on the coast, one's inland, one's 5 hours away from civilization,
Oh, I'm not going
right? And then you
to
see open houses, and you have 500 people at the open house on the coast. You have two people in the one inland, and you have zero people on 5 hours away. Which house do you think's going to buy, get
one.
offers?
The coast is
Right.
going to get the first offer, probably
Right.
like instantly.
Right. And it has like 500 people in the open house. So it has a demand with a low supply. The price is going to go up and it's going to get the offer. It applies like that with a token. It applies with that with ETH. It applies with that with stocks. Like everything is the same across the markets. If you have volume and you have low supply, high demand, the price will go up and it'll sell faster. It'll create volume faster. So,
Exactly. If there's a supply shortage, there's a, in this case, there's only one house on the market at, on the coast, and 500 people want it. There's zero supply. There's one supply, and only one person can have it. So all those 500 people are going to be fighting to get the best price for it, and it's going to go really fast, and or the price will go up really fast on that
there
house.
goes my Wi-Fi.
I can still hear you. You're good.
Okay. And I saw my Wi-Fi go, okay, I think I'm going to take a break.
It needed a
Hold
minute. It
on
needed a refresh.
one sec. The Starlink to my phone. I got notification because I'm with T-Mobile that I have Starlink on my phone now. I just haven't gone through the steps to add it, which probably would have been a key thing to do for tonight. But if you're too busy working to take care of the small things that are imperative, no.
But
I'm
so
like,
that was
the only
cool
time
that you
I.
got that too, right?
The only time I think about it is when my Wi-Fi's cutting out, and I'm like, oh, I guess I should add the Starlink to my phone now
Have to start reminding you more
and
during the day.
officially test it out. So the other great thing about traveling is, besides that I get beautiful scenery, except I'm inside working all day and I get to peek out, is we get to test things. So we get to test things in different types of Wi-Fi. So with Dragon, it's international. You can trade from anywhere, and that's like our proof of theory, right? That you can, we want to see if you can trade with lag, or you trade while you're traveling or on an airplane or in beautiful places on the beach. So we're
I'm a
proving
beach
our theory, right? And I'm also getting great content for all
guy.
those people who are influencers out there or marketers out there. I have great content. So I have beautiful content with dragons. And then there was something else. Oh, and I also get to try out all my other AI bots. So I have travel bots that find like the lowest air, lowest places the most inexpensive places compared to everybody else to fly and to stay. Like I got Aruba for $325 a week. I got Bahamas for, I think it was like $500 for 10 days. So I can, and then I have like other islands for like $300 a week. So it's great because I get to try out the bots. I get to get content. I get to test the bots on international with poor Wi-Fi and good Wi-Fi and Starlink and no Starlink. So there's a lot of benefits. So
the bots are can be used every day, anywhere from your phone, from your computer, like me.
And anywhere in the world.
Exactly.
And you don't, and I don't have to have 50 screens to watch every single token. It does it for me.
And when we, and we're human too, we've experienced it with a lot of screens. We've experienced it with one screen. We've tried watching as many tokens as possible. It doesn't work.
So we've had nights like that before we built out Dragon. We were trading and it was just like a night where all the tokens were hitting. Like no matter what happened, every single token that came over would just run right away. Like it would. So a run means basically if you buy it in a low market cap or a low price. A lot of people who are in Web2 think of it as a price. So they'll think like it's like, oh, 3 cent, right? Because Doge and all those are at price. So it's like if you bought it at 03 cent and it went to a dollar, like within 2 hours, that's a run. Basically, the price goes up. So that means the value of your portfolio goes up right away. We go off of market cap. So a market cap might be at 30K and then it goes to a million. On a market cap. So we like we gauge it on a market cap, but you can also gauge it on price. So we always call it by market caps. So we had one night that like every single, so it screens out 100 to 200 tokens, but it, you know, like you don't get all 100, 200 in like the first minute. It's over a 24-hour period. So it can be spaced out. But if you're trading, that means like if they're running, we usually like picked high priority times, which was 5 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. It's moved now, so it's more like 5, 6 p.m. to 10, 11 now. Like the time has changed a little because gas has gotten cheaper on ETH and there's basically no gas on Base. So gas is when it's like a supply and demand again. If there's a lot of volume, a lot of people are trading, to do your transaction, that means a lot of orders are going in at the same time and they can charge more, which is called gas. That's the transaction to execute your token. It's a fee that you pay that's automatically on the purchase or the buy or sell of a token. It's called gas fees. The gas fees would go up during peak hours. And so people wouldn't trade during that. So we wouldn't have a lot of volume because it would cost a lot of money on gas. And so now that gas prices are down, so it's like cheaper to trade on ETH unless there's a big run up on ETH and ETH is, you know, hitting 2880 like it did the other day. So we'd have a lot of gas that people would trade at night. But the hours have expanded now because gas prices are a lot lower. So we had one night. Well, it happened more than one night. We were trading a lot.
At least 10 nights and sometimes it was like two or three nights in a row and it was painful.
Well, it wasn't painful because it's exciting because the tokens are running and they're hitting right away, but there was a lot of them.
There was
a lot of them, so we're like so I like to trade on my phone because I like to be remote, be anywhere I want to. And then Joseph likes to trade with a lot of screens, which is perfect for me because then he could watch the charts and I can just tell him, okay, buy, sell. I'm like, what did it hit? Did it hit our target? Okay, sell. Because we have a system and strategy because, you know, there's like 400 million points of data over 3 years of data, right? And like 36.5 million tokens of data. But we have 400 million points of data. So based off of that, you can come up with a pretty good system and strategy based on what the market's doing.
Yeah.
And so we have a system and strategy. So like, because we're manually trading back then before we built out Dragon, we'd always want to make sure you de-risk as soon as it hits like a 2 or 4. So you take out your initial investment, you pocket it, and then you trade for free. So now you have profit in the game and you're trading on a token, right? So we had like, we were de-risking and pulling out our initial, and it was like some of them were running so fast that we couldn't even, like, as soon as it hit the 2 or 4, it moved on to a 10X right away.
We couldn't catch it in time.
Right. But we still took out our initial part of it, but it had already hit the 10X. So it already hit like our second target by the time we could execute it, because the token was moving so fast. There was so much volume. And it was, we were trading on like 10 different tokens. So we're going back and forth to each token, like, what's this token doing now? What's this one doing? What's the price at now? What's that one? And then looking at all the charts, and they were all hitting their targets right away and moving on to the next target. So you're like, okay, sell that one, take off the 50%. Okay, go to the next one. It's at 10X, take out that much. Okay, go to the next one. Wait, that one's still running. Maybe we should stay in a little longer. And then once we swayed from the system and strategy, it would work against us, because then the token would like sell. And we're like, oh, wait, we should have de-risked. We didn't de-risk. Okay, go back to the system and strategy and stay. That's human error, right? That's like emotion and logic going in like, well, maybe if we just hold it a little longer, we'll make more money. And then as soon as we said that, and everything we missed our targets, and we were supposed to sell, we were supposed to take our profit, and we're supposed to de-risk, and then it would go to zero. We had our rules in place. We just didn't listen to what we were supposed to do. So
yeah. So there's the human error. It's a lot of it.
It's human error. It's emotion. It's being, you know, thinking that you can beat the system. And even from trading and teaching all of this and breaking my own rules, it's like proof that you break your rule, you're going to get the results of what happens when you don't abide by your rule. You know, you don't use your own system and strategy, then, you know, it doesn't do what you wanted it to do.
It works against you.
If you did what you were supposed to do, it works out perfectly. So that's the great part about the auto trader. It uses the system and strategy, and it doesn't say, well, no, you know, maybe we just wait a little longer. You know, it doesn't try to like argue with you and say, you know, maybe you'll make more money if you just wait, like everybody else says. It does what it's supposed to do.
it has one rule, and it's follow the system and strategy.
Exactly, right? And it executes exactly like it's supposed to, and then it does what it's supposed to do. So you are safe, you make money, and you trade for free, you know? But yeah, we had those nights where it was just like running, and like trying to get to this token and get to that token. And then like, oh my gosh, I just want to sleep. It's like 1 a.m. These tokens are still live. You know, if we exit out now, it still has potential to go higher. But if we don't exit out, it has a potential to sell off. So like, what should we do? You know, like stay awake all night and trade and watch 10 to 20 tokens. But
now there's no need to do that. And
right now,
before we couldn't sleep, and we were debating, and oh, we'd sell off one, and then oh, wake up 2 hours later, and oh, we got to buy back into this one, sometimes
we had those times too.
I think we talked about that one.
It was MAGA that one night with MAGA. Well, we also had to MAGA. There was another one was Frogo or something, and like Squid. There was a Squid one. Oh, Grok was another one.
Yep.
So we got in Grok really early. Grok was like a 7K market cap when we originally got in. It went to 200 million. That was another one. We were live trading with everybody else at the same time. And then two of the Groks went in. So the first Grok only went to 8 million and everybody got into that one. And then the second Grok came out and people were still in the first one. And then we got into both of them. And then they sold off the second one because it went a little flat. And then that's the one that ended up running to 200 million. But it, like watching tokens and trading tokens so much, you know, they're like little puppies. Like, you know what they're going to do. You know, if you don't take your dog out for a walk, it needs its walk. If you don't feed your dog, it's going to whine and cry. If you don't give your dog loves, it's going to come over and try to get loves. You know, like we know what tokens are going to do. They're predictable. They do exactly what that we know that they're going to do, but we still think maybe just this one time, because I'm human, I know better. You know,
it never works like that,
right? Never ever works like that. But
and that's why we build Dragon, so that the human error is out. There's no, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to stay up 24/7. It's not a 24/7 job to watch.
Yeah, you
tokens.
Don't have to do what we do. You don't have to stay awake that many hours. We do it so you guys don't have to do that.
It was a great experience and a great learning experience to go through it. But now that we don't have to anymore, it's a big sigh of relief. I'll say that.
Yeah, now instead all my time staying awake is not watching charts, but working on more dev stuff and building out more AI and more predictive and running numbers and looking at data and figure out more system and strategy based off of the data. Because the data is amazing. Like, it's hard to counter a data, right? It's a fact. Like, I can't say, no, that's not true when the data shows it's true. So that's the best thing about data. Like, before we had all this data, I was just going off of systems and strategies that have worked with me before. And when I was trading and calling and being an analyst, like, what I knew would happen. And it was kind of more intuitive. Like, I know that as soon as you hit a 2 or 4, you're probably going to have to de-risk because hypothetically, most of the tokens will do that. But now you have data to prove it, right? And we're seeing data that it's more like at a 4 or 5 that is that first key number. So you have a higher risk if you're buying in all the tokens, the 5X is like the first key number. And then it jumps from there, like jumps to 20X. We have all the data on that. But before it had to be intuitive, and now we have data, so we can just go off of data. And the great thing about AI is it can take all of this data and combine it and come with like within fine-tune exactly the best system and strategy based off of the type of numbers, and then fine-tune on tokens that are launching, like even if they have like a tiny variation on the contract, that this is a good contract or not. Like, that's the best thing about AI is it's humans, like multiple humans exponentially without human error and emotion attached to it.
Think of it like a group of humans, like hundreds, thousands, millions of people's brains all in one. It can do everything. It can do everything at once.
Right.
And then it just comes to you as what is exactly like an easy to read, simple data set that you know how to read, and you can read it in a split second, and you have everything that you need. But it does all the research for you. It goes to hundreds of sites. It goes to everything that
thousands
it needs
of
to,
sites, right?
Thousands, and then it.
And exponentially, right?
Yeah.
So whatever you input it data, it's going to take that input plus all of the research that it's able to gather and come back to you with a refined. And it comes back within milliseconds. It doesn't, like, it's saying it's solving things that supercomputers would have take hundreds of years to solve. And now AI is solving it like within milliseconds or a minute or 5 minutes now. So that's like, that's the greatest thing I think about this is for me is, now I'm able to take complex ideas and formulas and systems and strategy and compile all the data and then get the feedback that I need so I can create even better technology and give a better output and better systems and strategy. So we take the complex and then simplify it down so that everybody can use it. So it's not just for the top 1% anymore, the masses, everybody out there in the world can use that, from an 18-year-old to a 90-year-old grandma, that they can set it up within 5 minutes. It's one click, easy to use. And everybody has this opportunity now from all of this training and mastering and practicing and trading and information and business models and data, that now everybody can do it. And it's simplified down to one click anywhere in the world. Simple, easy to use, and you don't have to be a master. So we're gonna wrap it up.
I didn't even realize the time. Oh my god.
Yeah. So we're gonna look forward to talking to y'all on next Taco Tuesday. The Fed would have met tomorrow. We'll see what happens. The market may be disrupted for a little bit. It'll settle back down. So probably in 7 days when we meet with you again, we should have good news in the market again. That's the anticipation. Never know. Do your own research, not financial advice. But on to our next adventure and our next system and strategy. And yes, we'll talk to you all next Tuesday.
Talk next Tuesday. Bye, everyone.
You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.